rode the stallions from the stables of the tower at Charm. Those giants' hooves struck sparks every time they hit the ground. Their eyes shone red. Their nostrils puffed breath that seemed somehow more than just steam in the cool of the morning. Trumpets, cymbals, and drums seemed appropriate, but Lady and the old man never went in for that kind of thing. Those two, and every man behind them except the prisoners, carried a small arsenal of bamboo. Howler was in a small wheeled wooden cage drawn by a brace of black goats. He and Lady must have reached an accommodation because no obvious control measures had been added to the bars. Although he was surrounded by a half dozen soldiers who could bathe him in fireballs before he could get off any really ugly spell. Long Shadow endured similar confinement, but he and Lady had not reached any agreement. His mouth had been sewn shut. His fingers had been sewn together. If he was going to cast any spells, he would have to do so by wiggling his ears. But the nervous soldiers nearby would roast him before he could do much more than twitch. The guys were rattled because he was in such a state. He kept tearing at the bars of his cage while trying to scream incoherently through his sealed lips. Long Shadow did not want to go up the mountain. The proper Indra Draw was being treated well. Willow Swan and Cordy Mather flanked him, doing their duties as royal guards, while Otto, Hagop, the engineer brothers, and the Yuang Bao bodyguards, who tagged along after everybody, formed a larger diamond around those three. Longinus and Loftus conversed with the prince, as though this venture was nothing remarkable. I admired the Prabhrindra Draw. He was a good man and a sound one. It was a pity we couldn't let him go home. After his years in the field, he had the self-confidence and willpower to stand up to his sister and take up the reins of the state. He'd learned enough and had developed the strength of character to resist the extortion efforts of the senior priests. The panther that used to be a woman was in a cage that was more like a coffin. She couldn't stand up. At no time would she be able to use the full leverage of her powerful muscles. She could do little but lie there and be angry. The captain didn't believe in taking chances. He'd seen what the Forvalaka could do ages ago. All our enemies would share our adventure, and our fate, unless they elected to warn us about something. Rudy slipped down the slope to meet the captain, alerted by Bucket's remark about it being game time. I didn't look back. I knew he meant that Sleepy had come out of the bunker and was sprawled against the wall by the door again. Just the way we wanted. Rudy would ask the old man to have his crowd make a racket coming into my shanty monarchy. One of Bucket's favorite Taglian lieutenants stuck with the name Lopal Pete to distinguish him from a sergeant everybody called Kusavir Pete, both Petes deriving from the center syllable of an 11-syllable Guni god name, came to tell his leader he would need to bring up a lot more water if the men were going to take care of all the cleanup I wanted them to do while I explored beyond the Shadow Gate. Bucket told him, "Wait till that bunch of aristocratic assholes gets on up here. We don't want anybody to get trampled." "Yes, sir." Lopal Pete collected his work party and took them around behind my bunker, where they would be out of the way till Croaker arrived and made enough noise to cover the bunch sneaking up on Sleepy. I started spooning mush into my mouth.